We are back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. We're broadcasting from the Cooperage in Milwaukee's Harbor District for today's show. It's part of our Project Milwaukee series, Great Lakes, Troubled Waters.
So far, we've talked about water policy and emerging threats to our water systems, but now we're going to take things a little closer to home and discuss how water affects our health, our bodies, both directly and indirectly.
We're joined on stage by Jamie Fershinger, Director of Environmental Health for the 16th Street Community Health Centers, and by Heather Paradis, Medical Director of Community Services for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, it's missing now, but just a couple seconds ago, on the table in front of us was a glass of water. And I feel bad that you do not have water with you, but what kind of advice do you give people that you encounter when they ask you whether they ought to be drinking water from their tap? Either one of you.
I would tell people that they should check to see if they have a lead lateral in their home. You know, you can look online, you can go to the city of Milwaukee and find out if you have a lead lateral. I would ask them if they have children under six in their household, because children under six absorb lead faster than adults do. I would recommend putting a water filter on their faucet or in their home, because that's a good and effective temporary solution to lead poisoning.
And as a pediatrician, I always encourage my parents and patients to trust their water source. And in addition to some of the risks that Jamie mentioned, you know, you've talked about water being life-giving and that we need to be able to trust it. Our public water also delivers fluoride, which is really important for kids and their teeth and their health.
This is something that we actually talked about earlier this week in an interview, the idea that there is mistrust out there of public water, even in places where the water is safe, and that's led people to substitute things like bottled water, which has environmental costs, but also things like sugary drinks, which has, you know, their own public health costs, right?
Absolutely. It's unfortunate to see.
There are a lot of places in the world where you can't take water for granted. I lived in Honduras for 2 years, and you had to boil your water, then you had to filter your water, and then if you were really going to be safe, you kind of boiled it again and made sure that everything, and hoped that everything was done. So when patients come in and say, I don't trust it, you know, look what happened at Flint, I don't trust what happens, how do you reassure them?
Well, I am a pediatric health expert, not a water science expert. But I say I do trust our public entities, that they are monitoring the water quality. And certainly we assess for potential risk in terms of a lead lateral or the age of their house. And as pediatric health experts, we are always vigilant to testing young children for lead exposure. And thankfully, especially here in our city, we have resources to get them water filters when that's appropriate.
For a long time, I think the threat that people saw from lead was from paint chips or even leftovers from old cars that ran on leaded gasoline. It's a more dynamic problem today, correct?
So I think that although we have eliminated leaded gasoline from our environment and its health risks, it's really important to recognize that we have not won the war yet on lead paint, that it continues from a population health perspective to be the largest contributor in terms of deteriorating lead paint, both the interior and on the exterior of homes, in terms of pediatric lead poisoning. However, to your point, we do also now recognize the additional potential contributions from sources such as water, or in individual cases from things like imported foods or cosmetics or pottery or assorted other potential sources of lead.
How high on the, my voice is going on me. Bonnie, you want to?
Well, I basically wanted to ask about, since we've been talking about lead in children, what are some of the symptoms that you look for that might make you say, okay, we need to test?
Yeah. So the reason that we as pediatricians and pediatric health professionals need to remain especially vigilant is because there are often no indications that a child has been lead poisoned. We know that long-term effects from lead exposure include things like developmental issues, learning problems, and behavior issues. But oftentimes those are, in retrospect, that we only recognize the potential contribution that an elevated lead level has had.
And the question I was going to ask is where do you see water quality issues falling in the priority list, or the, you know, where does it fall in the area of interest at 16th Street Community Health Centers? Where do you see, you know, things like these environmental factors coming into what you do?
I think it's one of many variables, and I don't think, you know, when we look at lead poisoning, we don't isolate one variable over the other. I mean, it's hard to just isolate one variable and say it's all water, it's all paint. It's, you know, like, lead is ubiquitous. It's in our water, it's in our soil, it's in the pottery, you know, some of the imported pottery. It's everywhere. So to isolate a variable and say it's only water, you know, doesn't, you know, isn't going to have the effect of improving people's health. What we want to do, especially at 16th Street, is, you know, go into people's houses and help them identify the risks and help them remove those risks so they're not getting health, you know, not getting lead poisoned in the first place.
Are your patients concerned? Are people coming to you saying, please come to the house and help us figure this out?
Well, at 16th Street, and I know at other health centers, every child under the age of 6 gets lead tested. And so we will be able to understand right away if a child has lead poisoning just through those blood tests. Anytime they come to the clinic, they'll be tested.
This is a very basic question that I think a pediatrician could answer. Why is this more of an issue for kids versus adults?
So we focus especially on young children, as Jamie said, children under the age of 6, because of the developmental or period that they're in. Their brains are developing so rapidly that they are especially vulnerable to the effects of lead on their brain and their nervous system. In addition, there are some mechanisms whereby children can absorb lead more rapidly into their bloodstream.
You mentioned, you know, you can find out, you can kind of easily go online to find out if your home is serviced by a lead lateral, at least if you live in the city of Milwaukee. I'm not entirely sure about the suburbs as well. But are there other programs that are in existence to make things easier to help mitigate these risks, that so you find out that that your house has a lead service line, or you've got lead paint issues, or any one of these other environmental factors? What are the kinds of things that you can do to tap in, to use a water metaphor, tap into to services that are out there and make things better?
We were talking about this question earlier, and there aren't a lot of programs out there. 16th Street obviously has a program. Also, the Milwaukee Health Department is helping to expand the model of the 16th Street Lead Outreach Program to the north side, so District 15. And in those programs, lead outreach worker can go into a home, help families identify their risks, distribute water filters, and help to remove some of those risks. So those are two programs for sure.
One of the things that's happening is changing water environments, and one of the things that came up in our discussions as we were putting the show together was the project like the dechannelization of the KK River, and we were wondering how things like that might impact public health in ways that we're not thinking about.
Yeah, that's a great example, and I feel like that's one of the coolest projects that's happening in Milwaukee that the fewest people know about. The KK watershed is the most developed watershed in the state, so about 45% of the surfaces around that watershed are impervious, and there's about 660 homes and businesses within that 100-year floodplain. And then on top of that, about 60% of the KK and its tributaries are lined by a concrete channel. So by having all of those things, you know, combined, it causes increased flow, about 20 cubic feet per second during high rains, which is similar to Whitewater Rapids. So when you have something like that in a really highly populated area, there's drowning hazards. There's also flood risks in people's basements. If you have flooded basements, that can cause mold cause asthma. That's a health risk. And then also, if you have a concrete channel and as opposed to a natural river, people aren't recreating around it. They're not getting outside to be healthy. So MMSD is investing over $350 million to remove some of that concrete channel in 7 miles of that river. And with that, that's going to be, increased public safety, less drowning. People are going to be able to get out and enjoy the river, and their basements will flood less. So it's a great project.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and less likely to have runoff with the water not moving as quickly.
Absolutely. Also, like the sediment going into the river, it's going to be naturally captured in that riparian area as opposed to going into the river and then directly into Lake Michigan. So improves water quality.
I mean, this must be kind of an eye-opener to people when you think about a project like this. The first thought that comes to mind is not typically the impact it has on public health.
I know. It's not the first thing that comes to mind, but like you can see so many different ways that it's connected to public health, anywhere from drowning to like less mold to asthma to just recreation and getting outside and being able to have a place to recreate. You know, we can't underestimate how important that is.
Are there other areas surrounding water that you see in your work at Children's Hospital that that enter the picture? Or is it primarily reassuring people that, you know, by and large, the most of the water that that they are drinking is typically safe?
I think in terms of water that we consume for health, yes, it is reassuring to the safety and the benefits of it.
It sounds like trust but verify.
Absolutely.
Kind of like
a Cold War term there, yes. Well, Jamie Fershinger is Director of Environmental Health for the 16th Street Community Health Centers, and Heather Paradis is Medical Director of Community Services for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Thanks to both of you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
We will take one last break and then talk about how innovation and industry in the region can play a role in solving some of the problems that we've been talking about in our Project Milwaukee series. You are listening to a live Lake Effect from Milwaukee's NPR.